Now, remember what Deborah represents, the third church, and what the third church must do. It represents the corrupt church. The church that faces all kinds of corruption. Now, let's look at some of this corruption they face in Revelation chapter 2. Looking at Revelation chapter 2. Verse 12, the church in Pergamos. And notice it says in verse 14, I have a few things against you. You have those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eating sacrifice to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Now Balaam and Balak were instigated together against Israel. Balaam was the so-called prophet. Balak was the so-called sponsor. He tried to sponsor Balaam. And so when Balaam could not prophesy evil, and he found that when he tried to use a spiritual means, his gifting, to cause the fall of Israel, he could not. And notice what Balak did. Balak dare not fight the Israelites. He wanted the Israelites to be cursed first, then he will fight them. When they could not be cursed, he dare not fight them, and he was taught another way by Balaam how to instigate the fall of the Israelites, to bring God's judgment upon themselves. Now look at chapter 4, Judges. In chapter 4, Judges, in verse 2, it says, so the Lord sold them and into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. And for 20 years he harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now he talks about Jabin, the commander-in-chief. And here was a battle that was being fought. There was the 900 chariots of iron. Iron, if you notice in the other prophecies in Daniel, symbolizes great oppression and destruction. When you talk about those animals that represent the different empires as having teeth of iron, in the book of Daniel, it talks about the ability to inflict great destruction, to destroy. And just want to point again to the strength of iron. Just peep over to the book of Daniel. Verse 19, chapter 7. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze. There you have it. The iron is a symbol of the great destruction that came. And it was, the fourth beast was the worst that Daniel saw in his vision of all the different beasts. So here is Jabin. Jabin, the king of Canaan, and Sisera is commander. And together they are oppressing Israel. There was a corruption. The king of Canaan, and you must know what the Canaanites represent. The Canaanites represent everything that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 about all those things that Balak and Balaam caused the Israelites to go into immorality and fornication. Canaanite worship, if you read historically, speaks about great immorality and fornication. They're some of the most hideous sexual idols ever among the Canaanite worships. Bible scholars will tell you that. And so here, in the presence of all these things, you have not so much a judge, although she was also a judge. But her first call was a prophetess. You have the gift of prophecy coming against the false gift of Balaam. So you have Deborah in verse 4. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time, and she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Now there you have two persons, and here you have two persons. See, Jabin has Sisera, and Deborah has Barak. Because Deborah herself didn't go, but she was the one who was behind it. And you notice in verse 6, she sent and called for Barak. And he says, Barak, come and go, God will be with you. See, all Deborah did was to give the counsel, to give the wisdom, to give the prophecy, and to direct Barak. Barak was the one who did the actual fighting for Israel. So this is a very strange case where it tells us that the only way to overcome immorality and overcome fornication, overcome the things that would cause the corrupt church, the Balaam and Balak syndrome, is the gift of prophecy working together with the gift that was in Barak. You notice here that Barak served together with Deborah. Let's look at some things that Barak says. In verse 8, Barak said to her, I will go. If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. She said, I will surely go with you. And verse 10. Then Barak called Zebulun, Naphtali to Kedesh. He went out with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went with him. Now notice here, it was Barak who organized. Barak who called the people. Barak who led the people. Barak who did all those groundwork. But it was the gift of prophecy, or the office of a prophet that Deborah had, that was directing Barak. And in fact, Barak said, if you're not coming, I'm not going. What do we learn here? Prophecy edifies. Prophecy builds up. Prophecy exhorts. Prophecy comforts. And again, that tells us and speaks to us about corruption in the church. It talks about true prophecy, talks about a false prophecy, and a false person like Balaam, although he managed to give a few authentic prophecies, but his motivation was wrong. A battle was set up. And the battle, notice, in the battle, was 14. Deborah said to Barak, up! This is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone up before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. Now notice all the instructions, even the up, the command, came from Deborah, who had the anointing of God upon her life. So here we see the system which God sets up. Let's look over in the book of Revelations, chapter 2, very quickly. See the relation, the system that God has set up. And in verse 15, there's another thing that they face here. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. If you trace who the Nicolaitans are, the Nicolaitans were a corrupt government of the church. The Nicolaitans are something akin to what Balaam did. People who misuse their office, who misuse their position. Just like Balaam, he misused his position that he was honored with. He could prophesy, he could hear God. But he misused his position. And the Nicolaitans, if you read any Bible commentary and you try to trace it, there are a fair group of scholars who trace the Nicolaitans to Nicholas, mentioned in Acts 6, who was one of the seven. And one of the seven who slowly went astray because of his position, somehow he went astray. He abused his position and he began to. And if you, the other interpretation that scholars have of who the Nicolaitans are is to examine the word Nicolaitan in the Greek, which again points back to almost the same thing. It talks about the control of laity over ministers. My friends, when you have people who are not called controlling people who are called, you don't have a church, you have a society. There's no way one who is not called to the ministry who can understand the problems, the pressures, and the decisions that should be actually made in the church. You can never run a church as a business. Although the principles, the right principles and good principles of business must be applied to all organizations and all societies and all churches. We must be accountable. There's no doubt about it. And we must obey the laws of each land. But yet, remember this. You can never choose your own father. And you can never, in a sense, choose hire and fire shepherds. In a sense, that principle is already wrong. And so every time you have a worldly system imposed on a spiritual system, you get corruption. You get corruption. And although, sad to say, and on behalf of ministers, I would say, we apologize for ministers who have failed. Ministers who didn't live up to people's expectations. Ministers who have caused others to stumble. We apologize on the behalf of ministers. But just because there are some who fall, doesn't mean all of them are the same. Just because somebody duplicate and forge false money, doesn't mean you're going to say, let's get rid of all money. Everybody go back to barter trade. And that's what sometimes people do. They say, we cannot trust a man of God anymore. We cannot trust them with kind of authority. Let's control them. I know because I sit together with top business people, with business minds, intelligent, brilliant, high IQs. And sometimes they think that they can run a church with debt alone. Cannot. It will lose the glow of God's anointing and glory. Because God, remember this, all the days of your life, God never in the whole Bible anoints an organization. He only anoints men and women. And when those men and women set up organizations, the anointing flows through the organization. You remove those men and women, all you have is just a ceremony without the anointing. Show me in the Bible where God chose organizations. Never. Organizations are just tools. That's why we have lots of them. I don't work in one organization, I work in lots.